Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year. I'm going to explain that video in a moment. Most of my theology comes from Michael Keaton movies from the 80s. Multiplicity changed my life. I'm really excited to get to share with you this morning. I think it's a good word for where we are in this new year and having just celebrated Christmas. The verse that we have up, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. And what I want to share with you this morning is about freedom. You were made for freedom. Freedom's important. If I were to ask you what's most important to you, you might not say freedom, because it's maybe not top of mind in where you are in life. The same way if I ask you, what's your favorite song? You might not say Cyndi Lauper's Time After Time, but it's true. Like, it just is. And it's kind of the same way with freedom. Freedom's important to all of us. And when I say freedom, it conjures up a number of kind of visions and things that we might want. I think the most popular is this imagined world where we're completely free of all responsibilities, right? Where you just don't have the pressure of relationships or money or jobs. And that is a nice dream, but I don't think that that actually exists, and I don't even believe that's good for us. I think those things are good things for us in balance. What I'm talking about, though, is a freedom that I believe God promises and what Jesus came to give us. And it's both a freedom from sin and shame and guilt and fear, and a freedom to a life in God that's good for you. And here's why that's important. You won't get where you need to go if you're carrying more than you're supposed to be, and you don't have the things with you that belong to you. Does that make sense? If you were going to go run a marathon, I'm looking at my marathon runner friend. We can be friends now, too. You don't pack, like, DVDs in your backpack, right? You don't bring books. You take as little as possible. You take the things that you need. And that's the same thing with freedom, what I think that we have in God. We're not meant to carry certain things, and we are to take on some of the things that He promised. Freedom is a promise, but it's through Jesus, and it's through what He did. Jesus didn't just die for your sins, He died for your freedom. I'm going to say that again. He died to set you free from it. He died for your sins so that you could be set free. He didn't just die for your sins. There's a really important distinction there. If He just died for your sins, it would be like somebody saying, let me take the debt that you owe and I'll clear it, and now you're on your own. Don't do it again. And that's not what He did. He died to clear you of sin, guilt, and shame forever, if you would accept that grace, so that you could then move into the life of freedom that He means for you. Do you see that difference? I didn't for a long, long time. I grew up in the church. I grew up going to a Christian school. I was involved. I was in prayer groups, in Bible study groups. I was in youth groups. I started prayer groups and Bible study groups and youth groups. I was pretty good at Bible trivia. I could hold my own. And I was always looking to earn or to do what I thought that God expected of me. I felt like I had been given a gift, and that was true. But what had crept in over time was this, I lost sight of the grace, even though if you asked me, I knew the Bible verses and I could tell you, but I lost sight of the grace, and I took back on this pressure that I needed to be good enough. And it really affected me. It really weighed me down. I was getting sadder and more tired. And yet I was doing more in the church. I was busier than ever, and I was sadder than ever. I was more and more isolated, and I was fighting harder and harder to do it. And God, who is faithful, spoke to me in the most peculiar way. I was working in the city, and I was going through a subway station, and a group of atheists had been working to post signs in London and Manhattan. And as I was walking through the subway station, I saw one of these signs, and this is what the sign said. There probably is no God, so just relax and enjoy your life. And the strangest thing happened. I relaxed. I thought that was good news for a moment. And so I have this moment of, that sounds good. That is relaxing me. And then it was like, holy crap, that's relaxing me. What does that mean? What's that gonna mean at church? And I had this, again, just how faithful God is to speak to us through the strangest means. So first I see this sign that these atheists post, and then my mind immediately flashes to this 1983 classic, Mr. Mom, where I pictured myself, and I promise you, in the subway, laughing out loud, thinking of it, because I hadn't seen the movie in years. I'm thinking of this scene where a man is taken on a new task, and it's so difficult, and it's so confusing, and people are honking, and everything is going crazy, and people are like, you're doing it wrong. And he's like, don't tell me. I know how to do this. You're doing it wrong. Don't tell me. I'm doing it my way. I'm going to make this work. And I felt like God said, hi, Bill, I'm God. You're doing it wrong. And it began a journey. I wish I could tell you that in that moment, I was suddenly free of everything that had been weighing me down, but I wasn't. What it did begin was God showing me the things that were holding me in captivity. I told you already that I was still trying to earn something from God. I felt like it was my responsibility. He had done the work to set me free, and now it was my job to live rightly and to be holy and to be good. I didn't want to have to use his grace. Side note, if you're somebody who doesn't like to inconvenience people or you don't like to be a burden on people, you probably don't like to be a burden on God either. At least that was true for me. Do any of you have that in you? You hate to ask for help? You don't never want to be a burden? It's tough. I didn't want to need God's grace. And so I didn't realize either, there were things that I had shame and guilt for years, and they were just plaguing me. I had regrets, I had disappointments that I hadn't given over to him because I didn't want to burden him with it. And in my mind, with each one of those regrets and disappointments, there was this secret thought too of, I've ruined it. And being trapped in a terrible lie of thinking that just because I've made mistakes, it's ruined. My path has forever been, God's never gonna bless me now. He's never gonna, maybe he would have blessed me if I was better, but now it's harder. That's where I was. Have any of you felt like that? Am I alone in that? I don't think so. The good news is that the Bible is all about freedom. The whole story is about freedom. From the very beginning of Adam and Eve in the garden through to the New Testament, freedom is the theme. And God is always giving us pictures of captivity and sin and brokenness and what it means. If you knew nothing else about the Bible, I'll tell you this. My Bible is 1,100 pages long, from Genesis to Revelation. That's the first book to the last book. Do you know what page sin and death and captivity enters? Page 2. Page 1 and 1.5, he creates the entire world. And then page 2 is where sin. The Bible and the story of God is about him freeing us and the reconciling work that he wants to do in us. That's the story. If sin entered on page 1098, then we would all be wasting our time here if that was the end of the story. But it's the beginning. And one of the earliest pictures that he gives us is of a group of people held in captivity, and that group was Israel, and they were being held in Egypt. And the story goes that this people were oppressed, and they cried out to God, and God heard them, and he sent Moses. And you may have heard of the story of the 10 plagues and all that God did to free the people from Egypt and out of that oppression. And then here they are, they're free, and they're on their way to the promises of God. But what happens? Even though they're free, and they are, they're free. Egypt has been destroyed, their army destroyed. They're free. And yet every time something comes up, every time there's a problem, every time there's a challenge, what's the first thing they think to do? I want to go back. I want to go back. It was better. I could deal. I want to go back. This was a group of people that had been oppressed for hundreds of years, had cried out for freedom, and here they were physically free. And yet they were not free. Because their rest and hope were not in the promises of God. For all he had done for them, they still were not able to put behind them the things of the past and to look ahead to what God promised. I want to read to you a psalm that says it so well. It's Psalm 81, and this is a psalm about that time for Israel. And this is God speaking. He said, I relieved your shoulder of the burden. Your hands were freed from the basket. In distress you called and I rescued you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, while I admonish you. O Israel, if you would but listen to me, there shall be no strange god among you. You shall not bow down to a foreign god. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. Then I would quickly subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe before them and their doom would last forever. I would feed you, you Israel, with the finest of wheat, and with the honey from the rock, I would satisfy you. Do you hear what God is saying? I freed you. You're done. I took care of it. Why won't you take it? Why won't you take the freedom that I've given you? Why won't you listen? Why are you still holding on to the things of the past? You're holding on to your stubbornness. You're holding on to the old gods. I've done a great thing right in front of you, and I have great plans for you. Follow me. Give it to me. Rest in my promises. I have great things for you. And they didn't. And that generation wandered. And that's a picture for us. Moses and the freedom of the people of Israel was a picture of what God was going to do through Jesus. And here we are. We just celebrated Christmas. We just celebrated God fulfilling his promise, hearing our cries for our sin, our guilt, our shame, our brokenness, needing help. And God has come. And we have a choice. We have the choice of what we're going to do. We can be free. But what does freedom look like for us? Because I can tell you from experience, as I told you about my time earlier, that you can be here every Sunday, you can be involved, you can be in the Word, but if you're not taking hold of the freedom and letting go of the things of the past and taking hold of the promises of God, you're missing out. God has more for you. This is what Jesus wants for you. This is the freedom that he died for, to free you of the things. What are you holding on to? What things do you hold on to? What stops you from hearing? For me, like I said, there was shame and guilt about a lot of things. They really oppressed me. My pride. Oh, because I knew what the Bible had to say, I think I was harder to speak to. I didn't hear it. I had had the grace of God preached to me my whole life, and yet here I was being born and raised in that environment and still trying to do it on my own, still not accepting the grace and the freedom that he promised. Do you find yourself there? Do you find yourself caught in the lie that says everything is ruined? Have you ever had that? It's a terrible place to be. What I want for you, what I think God wants for this church, is that we would be a people that would, even today, starting with this new year, give everything to him. Completely orient your entire person to God. Everything. This shifting of yourself, this reorienting of yourself, the word that's used in the Bible a lot is often repentance. Side note. Growing up in the church, I always felt like the word repentance, I felt like it was always being yelled at me. So I have this like negative connotation of repentance. But it's not a bad word. It doesn't mean you're bad. It is a shifting of your mind. It is a renewing of your mind, a changing of yourself. It's taking on something new, something of God. Repent of everything. What do I mean? I mean, don't just repent. Don't just turn the things to God that you think are, that you're willing to give him. Don't just take the things that you think, well, here's my sin and guilt and shame. All right, God, there you go. No, it's not enough. Give him everything. Give him the things you're good at. Give him the things you love. Give him your hopes and your dreams. Yes, give him your sins. And even give him the sins and the shame that you're really ashamed of, that you really don't want to give him because you're embarrassed of them and you're going to try and clean it up on your own before you give it to him. Do you have those too? I do. Give him everything. Give it all over. Lay it down. Lay down your life and give it to God, and then start to see what he gives back to you. And start to walk according to his ways. Put your hope and your rest in the promises of God. Because here's what he promises. He promises that his grace is sufficient. On the cross, he promised that the work is done. It is finished. He promises that he's going to redeem things for us. He promises that when things look terrible, that he can make things new and work all things together for good for those who love and trust him. Those are the promises of God. That's what he calls us to. He doesn't call us to work really hard to earn some sort of points so that we're good enough for him. He tells us to entrust our lives to him, to trust in the hope and promise, so that when you are confronted with the challenges of life, you're not immediately going back and thinking like the people of Israel did, well, I'll go back. It was better. I'm going to revert to my old ways. My old way, when things go wrong, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll take control. I'll do it. And it starts the cycle all over again. And it's not living in the freedom of his promises. When you start to lay this down, when you start to give God the room to do what he's going to do in you, and he promises to do it, he promises to give us his Holy Spirit, and you're going to start to see that you're going to start to grow. You're going to start to be filled with promises of things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. Does that sound familiar? Those are the fruits of the Spirit that the man Paul, who wrote this letter to the Galatians, that's what he ends this small letter with. It's not an accident that in a letter directed to a group of people who were suffering from this mindset of going back under the slavery of the yoke, of taking everything back on themselves, that he is admonishing them, no, do not take that yoke back on. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Do not go back. Do not go back there. Do not take that mindset on. And see, he correlates this freedom that we have in God and him giving us his Spirit with what you're going to do when the Spirit of God comes on you and you're going to grow in the Spirit. And he calls it the fruit of the Spirit. And we know fruit grows slowly. So I'm not saying that this is going to be, I'm going to give it all to you this morning. It's January 1st, and by January 3rd, we're all going to be set. It's not going to happen like that. But I promise you this, and you'll go further. You'll go further than you would have. Do you know what Blue Monday is? This thing's broken, by the way. No, nobody try and lean on this. Blue Monday is what scientists would say, the most depressing day of the year. Do you know when that is? Third Monday of January every year. And what they say is that, I guess especially for the Northeast, because of the dreary weather, but also because all the Christmas gifts have lost their shine, and by January 17th, 18th, most people have already failed at their whatever New Year's resolutions they've made. Isn't that terrible? I think we can get further than January 18th, but not if you're carrying things that you're not meant to carry. And if you're in this place right now, having brought more in, having added more to your to-do list, having added more ways that you and your own strength are supposed to be better, then January 18th it is. But God wants more. He wants more for you. He wants more for us. Because when we begin to be people that have that love and that joy and that peace, and when we can proclaim the freedom of God to people, when we proclaim the true freedom that comes from the cross, we're going to be a community that starts to love one another better. We're going to be a community that reconciles what needs to be reconciled, to forgive what needs to be forgiven. We will not be held by that. And we will be one and whole, and we will serve God. We're still human beings. We're going to fight. We're going to bicker. That's fine. We'll get through it. We will do it in the freedom and the promises of God, and we will rest in that. And then When we have that for ourselves and we show that as a community, we're going to go out and we're going to show people that there is a God and you are free. So come and start to enjoy your life. May you accept the love and grace of Jesus Christ this very day. May you lay down all the things that you're tempted to carry. May you give him your hopes and your dreams, your burdens and your cares. And may you take on, may his Holy Spirit be poured out on all of you, on all of us. And may we do the work that God has for us. And let us run with endurance the race set before us, because we are a free people who rest and hope in the promises of God. I'm going to pray. God, thank you. Thank you for the freedom that you bought for us. Thank you for the hope that we have in you. Thank you that you promised never to leave us or forsake us. Thank you that you are true to all of your promises. And God, go with us now. First, let us know your love and mercy and grace for ourselves. And then may we show that to one another. And then, God, may we share it with the world. Thank you, God. Heal us. I ask you to free anybody from anything that's holding them back. Thank you, Lord. We pray all this in your name. Amen.